Now, we're talking about your adventure, your year adventure, which isn't over yet because you're still going to carry on in October. You said you're going to pick up the car in Canada and eventually head back home to California where your wife is waiting for you very patiently. Is that right?
Yeah. So,
but let's talk about the things that went wrong, because obviously there must have been so many amazing experiences. But let's talk about things that kind of were a bit scary.
Oh, absolutely. Any adventure has the scary parts, and that's what kind of defines the adventure. And you want to just have just enough scary that you come out and laugh about it. But and luckily, we've been on the good side. But we had a few close encounters. One was in Chile, where for some reason, I'm usually a very careful driver. You have to be absolutely careful. It was a rainy day. It was a dirt road, and I was passing an oncoming car. And instead of slowing down, I didn't. And the car kind of was too close, and I swerved and ended up in a ditch. It took about another 5 hours with 13 people to dig out the car. That was a terrible day because I thought that would be the end of the trip. But turns out that there was a little dent in the car, and that's it. Thank God nothing else happened.
And people helped you? People?
Oh, yeah. People stopped. It was raining. It was basically very southern Chile, so... people just all of a sudden appeared. Somebody got a chainsaw to cut a tree to get our car out. Somebody brought shovels, axes. People just stood around, helped for in the rain and like freezing, not just summer rain, freezing rain for better part of 4 hours.
My goodness. That's amazing, isn't it?
Absolutely is. The kindness that people show is, this is one thing I have to say, is that when we look at the world, we think of, you know, there's bad parts and bad people everywhere. But what we found is, maybe this is going to sound too hippie, but the world can be the place it is now if there's more than just one, even probably less out of 100 people who is not a good and decent human being. Because everywhere we go... people help out. People just in general. Yeah, we've had bad encounters, but that's just less than 1% of humans in general.
Were people really interested in what you were doing? Did you feel like you stuck out like a sore thumb? I mean, were people like staring at you? Did you get...
We have a car and we put flags and stickers on it just to make sure that people know that we're not from there. Plus the whole California license plate on the car gives it away. And the bumpers and all the tents and cans. People always were excited to see us. And we didn't have any issues with anybody. And South America, Central America, a lot of times, people just yelled on the street and just waved their, waved and said hello. So we felt comfortable and welcome.
So did you have, was it more terrain and weather that was the obstacles that you came across, or rather than people, or obviously nothing got stolen? Or
no, we
didn't get sick. Did you get sick?
Yes, we got sick in Central America. There's a disease called chikungunya, and my wife contracted it. It's a, a mosquito-borne disease, and if you get bitten once, you have a fever, and then you have like... symptoms are similar to arthritis. So at 26, 27, my wife had arthritis for a year, so she couldn't, all her joints hurt, and hiking and all this stuff was terrible for her. And then I just got sick, fever, regular virus, so nothing else, nothing crazy.
So could she take medication to cure her?
No, there's no cure. Nobody has...
That's it. She's got that.
No. It goes away with time. Oh, so okay. For some people, it takes a week. For some people, okay. A month. For some unlucky ones, it takes a year. And the extreme ones, 5 years. So she's just a year. Thank God it's all gone.
You must have had a lot of vaccinations and stuff.
Yeah, so just... your standard vaccinations, nothing too crazy. Yellow fever. I don't remember the rest of them.
Yeah. So you said you had floods. You had you didn't crash the car, but you did end up in a ditch.
Yeah.
Did the car? Did you get flat tires, punches?
Just one flat tire. That's it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I was surprised myself, but that time it was a rod about 7 inches long. So big metal rod that punctured the tire completely. Yeah, otherwise the car... I mean, there's basically, after Mongolia, I had to replace most of the suspension for the car because it just shakes everything out and all the parts were going to wear out. war worn out by the time. And there you cross rivers, and all the parts that have rubber gaskets that are just a little bit on the thin side end up being completely torn, and you just, the car creaks and makes noises. So
tell me about the best places you went. What were the best experiences you had? What if you were to say to someone, you know, you've got one life, you have to see this, or you have to do this?
I think that there's a place in Bolivia that every time I show pictures of our travels, that people are blown away, and it's the salt flats in Bolivia, the Salar de Uyuni. And it's a wonderful place to visit because I've never seen... You think about it, it's basically salt flats, so it's just white salt and nothing else. And you think, why would it be interesting? But since there's nothing there to give your eyesight any perspective, it's really easy to mess with your mind. So, for example, there's a mountain off in the distance, and you keep driving and driving and driving towards it, and it doesn't change because it's probably 100 kilometers away. Or there's a little island there, and you think, oh, it's just 2 minutes away. But there's no trees, there's no houses, no other cars to give you perspective, so you just keep driving and driving and driving. Also, just a crazy place to mess with your senses.
And is there anywhere now that you'd still like to go? I mean, is there parts of the world, obviously, that you haven't been that is still on your bucket list that you need to tick off?
Well, obviously, there's a whole continent that we didn't mention, and I would love to do it at some point. Also, Ewan McGregor and Charlie did it on the long way down. I just ran out of time and money, so at some point, I would love to go and drive through Africa. That would be definitely on my bucket list.
You don't fancy China, Japan, Indonesia, Australia?
What we did is called overlanding. Some of our friends are currently in Japan, and they've been traveling for 14 years now. So yeah, this is their lifestyle. So they don't have a home, so to say, and they're in Japan now. We would like to go to Japan, Australia. We've been to China. China is a little bit more difficult when traveling by car because they're a little bit more controlling on permits. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, but we went to Beijing to visit our friends.
So it is something that gets in your bloodstream. You just think, I'm going to keep on traveling? Or
yeah.
Do you think there'll come a point when you know you're just going to keep going?
I would like to. The only way I can settle down for the next few years is that if I at least tell myself that at some point in my life I will do it again. Maybe it's a lie, but, you know, I'm going to believe it now.
And you must get attached to your car. Does it have a name? Does it have a pet name?
Yes, it does. It has a name called Hodori. Because when we were trying, it means tiger in Korean. I'm always Korean. So when we were trying to name the car, we were sitting down there brainstorming. And I said, hey, what is really big, not so smart, and carries people? And my wife's like, I don't know. I'm like, Hodor. So she didn't like to name the car Hodor because, no spoilers, okay, because of what happens. I don't know if anybody watches Games of Thrones.
All right.
Yeah. It's old news. But anyway, she named it Hodori, which is cute mascot for the Seoul Olympics that happened in the 80s. So, yeah.
Yeah. And so you'll have to keep that car forever now, do you think?
I think so, yeah.
And did you kind of pick up any pets along the way? What food did you eat? Did you eat some really unusual food? Is there anything gross?
No. Gross. We're not really grossed out by a lot of things. So our point is to go out and try the food, all of it. Even if we've tried. The regular thing in Thailand, you eat insects, blah blah blah. I don't know. There's not a lot of gross food. For example, in Kazakhstan, we learned that for a wedding, people, if it's a good way to tell if the wedding has been planned or a little bit last minute is by the quality of the horse, because they actually butcher a horse for a wedding. So if you plan your wedding correctly, you have a nice, fatty horse. But if it's kind of last minute, you get what you get.
You get the old donkey from around the back.
Exactly. So...
That's interesting, isn't
it? Yeah, there's a lot of very interesting traditions around the world that might seem gross or not okay to us, but just people do what they do to survive.
Yeah.
So I think, Mongolia, we met some locals who decided to take us out for a real Mongolian experience. So we had all kinds of crazy, just boiled meat, and it's just boiled meat and then fermented cheeses and milks, and you don't judge people. Just no. This is what they do, and you eat it, and some of it is really good, some of it it's not.
Yeah. Did you eat guinea pig in Peru?
Yes, we did. Personally, a little bit disappointing because there's not a lot to it. And just, you know, it just like a little rat. It tastes exactly like you think it would.
But what tasted good, which you didn't expect? Like the insects, do they taste good?
No, they don't taste anything. They taste like spices. Okay. So it's just basically crunchy spices. It's like eating peppers that, you know, they're so dehydrated that there's nothing left in there. It's just protein. I mean, I think one of my favorite cuisines, the top two, I would say, is Mexico, because it's, you go from town to town and the cuisine varies. And then Thailand is obviously, I mean, Korea, Thailand is out of this world, so.
What about drinking? Did you drink much?
I think everybody will understand that after 12 hours of driving, when you're done and you're stressed out and you have a can of beer, all of a sudden your life comes back to you. So not a lot of drinking because you have to be on point every morning. But Chile, Argentina, I can promise you the wine is really good. And I think our staple dinner was a steak in Argentina, a steak and a bottle of wine every night. And I think that that's pretty good.
Sounds delicious. Did you run out of money at any point? Did you panic? Did you have to work when you were traveling around? Did you do any odd jobs?
No, we just planned and we kept to a budget, a very strict budget. In the beginning it was difficult, but then as time goes on, you kind of get used to it and you just travel within your limit. You know, we could have, if we went slower, we would have been able to spend less money because you just end up staying in one place and not paying for gasoline and fees associated with traveling. And food is so much cheaper in these countries. So you can stay much, much longer.
So petrol must have been the main.
Correct. Yeah. Especially in the UK.
Really?
It's probably the most expensive petrol that I have ever seen.
Really?
The second most was Argentina, where we had to drive 2,000 miles at about, what is it, 3.5 quid per gallon. So it was a big hit to our budget. So after that, we would stop and kind of reassess, take a deep breath.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, your wife must have been, she must have been very disciplined not to shop. I mean, not to buy souvenirs and things, because you must have been coming across some really beautiful crafts and, I don't know, you just...
It was really easy. Yeah. The car is not rubber. It just doesn't have any more space. It's not made, you know, it just doesn't fit. And then plus she realized, I mean...
You don't need stuff.
She would trade experience for material things any day, which we did. We basically set out, if we spend, you know, this is our money, and if we, I think it turned out to be about $100 a day. So if we're above that by a lot, then we'll just won't be able to make it. Mm. And, you know, everybody understands that.
So does the world seem bigger to you now, smaller to you? How does America compare to the rest of the world? What's your kind of outlook on life? Has it changed you as a person, do you think?
I wouldn't be able to tell, I don't think. I think maybe. I started this out to figure to kind of see that the world is connected. And I just realize now how big it is. And one of the things that I definitely realized is that you go about the world thinking you have your own social circle. You have your family, friends, your town. And you feel like you're part of this world that you know everyone. Well, in reality, there's 7.5 billion people, 7-something billion people. You don't know anyone. And the people who you choose to spend time with, or who decide to spend time with you, they're such a small fraction of the world. So I just came to appreciate it much more, because if you're in the middle of Mongolia, and again, there's not a lot of people you know. Or, you know, middle of Argentina, there's nobody you know. And you just have 20, 30 people who are your friends, and we should definitely treasure that a lot more.
Did you stay in touch with people? Did you phone people? Did you email? Did you do any of that?
No. I said that instead of talking to all of you, I'll write one blog, and if you care about me, then go look at it. If you don't, then I don't care. No, but it was... We drove a lot, and trying to write a blog every week was very, very difficult, because a lot of stuff and time goes into it. So
yeah. Well, listen, give us the blog address again, because I'm sure people will be really interested to have a look.
It's nomadicyear.com.
brilliant. Well, Ivan, it's been fascinating talking to you, but I have to stop again because I have to do another travel update. But I really have found this, I could talk to you all day. I mean,
I really appreciate coming on and sharing my story. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And I wish you all the best of luck with the rest of your travels. And, well, you never know. Maybe if you probably won't come back here again, but if you ever do, come on and tell us about it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ivan. This has been great.